Is always, should I use Mac or should I use Tor? Because most people know that you can do most things either way around. If I want to give you some guidelines, my recommendation is when you do one and when you do the other. My rule of thumb is this. If I'm generating a new list from the old list and I'd like to keep the old list around for other purposes, then I always use a Mac. The advantage of using a Mac is that most of the list generation is being done in pre-compiled C. And it don't get faster than that. The code generally is more compact, and once people understand what a Mac does, it's also reasonably easy to read. Most importantly, if you're doing something like building a new list of values or a new array of values out of an old array of values, it's almost certainly the case that the Mac version will do less memory reallocation. So the Mac version just says, look, I want the square root of the result, so I take the result and map the square root function over them. And I'm done. I could have done it like this. I could have said, create this variable and go through the results and push it onto that. And what's the problem with doing it that way? Well, now we've got a whole series of push operations, and those push operations will have to resize and resize and resize the array. Whereas the Mac only has to do it once. The math assumes that the number of elements coming in is the same as the number of elements going out, so it allocates enough memory more effectively. Now, of course, this push isn't that bad, it doesn't just allocate one slot every single time, but it's not good. It also reduces the amount of code you have to look at. I kind of like that. On the other hand, if I'm doing some kind of modification in place to an array of values, then I'll almost always use a for instead of a max. So if I have to write something like this, where I take into my results, I take the square root of it, the power of 3, and add a random value, scaled by whatever that value is, and then I put it back into result, then I'm going to look across 3 lines of code to see that this is a modification in place. And I've got to build a separate list of the return values, which I then overwrite on the original values. So I'm allocating more memory. On the other hand, if I do it this way, then it's very obvious to me that I'm changing a value each time, because I can see the result is equal to the blah blah blah. It all goes on one line. And I don't have to do as much memory reallocation. So that's a general rule of thumb. But the most important rule of thumb of all is, don't trust what I tell you. Trust what benchmark tells you. Or rather, what benchmarking tells you. One of the things that I found when I was putting this course together, I would write out a slide saying, do this, don't do this, because this will be faster than this. And then I would go and benchmark it. And then I would go back and change the slide, to say, do that, don't do this, because that is faster than this. I must have done a half dozen. Eventually I gave up writing the slide. Yes, but I'll work it out before I write the slide. Doesn't matter how good a Perl programmer you are, doesn't matter how much you've had a look at the source. Have you ever looked at the Perl source code? Yeah, it's not a pleasant experience. Doesn't matter how deep you are into that, your intuitions about what of two different ways will be faster are no better than guessing. 50-50 you'll be right, 50-50 you'll be wrong. So if it matters to you, if you're optimizing, then optimize in the same way, which is to test that your optimization actually improves things. Let's move that we actually backed out all of the optimizations out of regex engine recently because we found they actually made things well. Well, my understanding is that we actually backed off quite a few of the optimizations from the regex engine that were slowing it down. Remember pseudo hashes? Okay. Pseudo hashes actually slowed everything down. They seem to make it faster because they slowed down regular look-like hashes by about like 15% or something. Yeah, which makes pseudo hashes look better. That's a good technique. We'll be using that in Perl 6 to make sure it runs faster than Perl 5. do not trust your belief about organization. Test and verify. Okay. If you have to produce a value at the end, you're going to put into a variable, and you've got a series of different processes that you need to use to do that, then don't use a cascade if. If this, do something else, if this, do something else, if this, do something else. And all those do somethings are assigned to some variable, some value. That's what God gave us the ternary operator for. You'll see a lot of people say, don't use the ternary operator. But I will say to you, definitely use the ternary operator. There are good reasons for that. Apart from the fact that it scares people, which will help you keep your job, it gives me a nice table. And the table even has lines on it. For this condition, this value. For this condition, this value. For this condition, this value. By default, this value. So I have a column of tests and a column of the resulting value. But there's a more important reason to use the ternary operator in favour of if, else, if, else, if. And that is because with if, else, if, else, if, that's all you have to write. You don't have to write the last else. And if you don't write the last else, then you are not guaranteed that your variable is initialized. Whereas with the tabular ternary, it is syntactically invalid not to give that last case. With a tabular ternary arrangement, you are absolutely guaranteed that some value is going back into that variable. And that's worth something. Plus, I just like tables. Your rate of mileage may vary. And it is possible to write if, blah, the, if, else, if, blah, the, into a table form. But then you've got all this kind of fruit salad around the actual columns that make it much harder to see them. And you've got to have all the separate salute equals, unless you do something really horrendously equal. So I strongly recommend this one. Okay, I understand that some people don't like it. Can't we just use switch? The question is, couldn't we just use switch? Word of advice, in production code, do not use switch. Do not use the switch module. I guarantee it will come back and it will hurt you. Now I tell you. Yeah. The problem with using the switch, let me go on with this. The problem with using the switch module, even though it's in the core, is that 99 times out of 100 it will do exactly what you want. Perfectly, and be a very clean way of doing things. But that's not acceptable for production. So, you know, when you're running on, what, a 4 gigahertz chip, one time out of 100 happens a lot. Okay. It's great for almost every case, and that one case it will bite you and there will be no comeback. You'll have no way to get around it. Why? Because it can't pass curl. Do it as best, but it can't actually pass curl. And that's just going to make it. Why is it in the core? Because Gyatso is completely susceptible to my Jedi mind powers. It's in the core because it works well for most people most of the time. Okay, there are plenty of other things that I just point to in the core that aren't perfect. Maybe you've had experience with some of them. Okay, they're not just all mind modules either. Alright then, how are we doing? We're going well for time. We'll talk about... We'll talk about documentation. Because I know that you want to talk about documentation.